Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Thomas Jefferson famously said, "All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent." Well, my guest today is John Strand, and he refused to stay quiet. John was at the Capitol on January 6th, and he was wrongly arrested and imprisoned. He's here today to tell his story and eventual exoneration. That's all coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurletis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you moms and dads are joining us again this week. Every show we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, have we got a story for you today? Let me tell you about this. 2 years after literally getting swept into the Capitol on January 6th by the crush of people, John Strand left his life of liberty for the darkness of captivity in a federal prison. He tells his shocking story in his book, Patriot Plea, The J6 Journey of a Political Prisoner and the Divided States of America. Well, John, welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Thank you. I mean, what a story. And now we've got a book. Now you're running for Congress. I mean, you are a busy guy, and I'm really excited to get into this story because there's a lot to share here. So welcome.
Yeah, Debbie, thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you again. We did see each other on your show a little time ago, I think very shortly after I got out of prison, which is a weird thing to say, even years later. And the book that I wrote in prison, Patriot Plea, that of course we will talk about, is a really incredible story that relates what happened to me, but also what's actually happening to the entire country, which I know you and Moms for America is a big part of. So I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not much talk about J6 anymore, but boy, you want to talk about that being the hottest topic in town for multiple reasons. Let's go back to this. I mean, you know, during this, I mean, Moms for America was concerned about the lockdowns. We were concerned about the forced shots. We were concerned about really just the assault on liberty, and let alone what happened on J6. We were there January 5th, the day before, as moms concerned about where the future of our country was going as well.
We were there,
but
too.
Yeah, we were all there
on the 5th.
Because we could feel that something was off. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know, and we knew that. And kind of like, I'd like to talk a little bit about this, why you started getting alarmed in 2019, and why you started kind of speaking up, and what were the red flags that you were seeing even before all this happened?
Yeah, no, that's a very important starting point. For those that aren't familiar with my story, my dad served in the U.S. Navy. He was stationed in California, where I was born, in Florida, where my brother was born, in Pennsylvania, where my sister was born. And I've lived throughout the U.S. and even overseas as I've grown up and worked in my career as an actor, writer, and spokesman. And I was living and working in Los Angeles, California, when COVID came upon us. I, of course, working in that industry, wasn't really afforded the opportunity to be explicitly political or conservative per se. I've grown up on a solid foundation of Judeo-Christian values. That's my faith and the life I've always pursued. And I felt called by God to bring my values and my faith into a dark industry like Hollywood. Fast forward now, suddenly he's calling me into Washington, D.C., another dark industry. But at that time, I wasn't explicitly political until the COVID issue came up, as well as the BLM Marxism-driven Summer of Love, you know, social justice campaign that were burning down the streets. And that was being not only excused, but glorified in Hollywood and in the media circles. I really felt God call me to speak against that. And certainly when whispers came about of lockdowns, meaning a quarantine on healthy people, which has never been done in the history of mankind because it's ludicrous and murderous. That was the warning signs that triggered for me, and the red flags, and red flags. But also, honestly, I was really trying to pursue an authentic relationship with Christ and listen to God in my life. And I heard him more clearly than I ever had say, "You need to speak against these false narratives and push back against this oppression and tyranny."
Yeah, it really was. When we look back at it, you want to talk about wild times. And in the midst of it, everybody was just trying to figure out, like, what the heck is really going on? Like you said, healthy people locked down, can't participate, can't go to restaurants, can't go to their gyms, can't go to school. I mean, this just got absolutely insanity. You say that our country was in a war between good and evil. And that really, it sounds, it doesn't sound extreme to say that because it's exactly what it was. It was, opposing very big opposing ideals, and it became very evil. I mean, so many people lost family members, so many people were imprisoned, so many people lost their businesses. I mean, the suicide rate for children was off the charts. We lost education. We lost many, many, many important years for our society, and it really was good and evil in many ways.
Oh, it's the battle of our time. And as a Christian, I know that I am called, I know you are called, we are called by God to go out into the world to pursue the work and purpose that he's built and designed for us. That's why we are here. He calls us to do that in all arenas. So Hollywood and the government isn't off limits. This idea of not mixing politics and religion ultimately is a false premise and part of the propaganda. And this book that I wrote in prison, of course, was the culmination of early decisions I made to react to those red flags and push back. But the story doesn't just tell what happened to me, John Strand, in a prison cell and everything else, although it does, and it's mind-blowing. But it really weaves in the narrative of the American story, and it starts with the foundation of the American story, as well as my story, which is the Bible, the Word of God, objective truth. And this nation, back in 1775, when they started a war to rebel against the British Empire and declare themselves independent and seek liberty and religious freedom and economic freedom and prosperity, that was all contingent on a virtuous population, which was only made possible by a vibrant church. And it had actually fallen asleep, was reawakened by what we call the Great Awakening, led by Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. And this is an incredibly key part of the story that we've totally lost. And I think 2026 is our generation's 1776. And I mean that as a spiritual reformation and revolution that really needs to happen. And the political and cultural will be downstream from that.
And so true. Here we are 250 years later, our president calling for rededication of our country. And really, when we talk about our founding father was God. I mean, he is at the very essence of this great country. I do want to get into all these stories real quick and your book a little bit more specifically. But of course, right now in the news, here we've got Dr. Fauci's notes during COVID.
The
When you
infamous
look,
diary. Yes.
when you look at that right now, what's your thought bubble? I mean,
Oh
because
my goodness.
holy cow,
Yeah,
right?
I don't call him doctor except to say Dr. Evil. Anthony Fauci is no legitimate doctor. He's a obviously clearly exposed and proven to be one of the most infamous megalomaniacs in world history, actually. That won't be at all hyperbole soon enough. I've actually openly called for him to be tried, prosecuted, and given the death penalty. I think that's bare minimum. I'm unashamed to call for that. I think the evidence is overwhelming that he bears an enormous amount of responsibility at the highest levels of power, which he clearly, it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wildly abused his authority, lied repeatedly, illegally exploited government resources to advance a dangerous narrative in his own interest and directly against the interest of human lives, not to mention his job as a government official, and many, 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 many people. We're talking far more than thousands of people died as a
Yeah, you
result
sure
of
did.
Anthony Fauci and his abuse. So if you don't call for the ultimate punishment at a point like that, you'd never call it for anything. And the fundamental premise of justice would be completely eroded, which of course it largely has been. And I think justice as well as democracy, these ideas and concepts, which are foundational to Western civilization and certainly to America, have largely become a fraud. In large part. And it's only getting worse and worse. And whether they can put their finger on it or articulate it or not, most Americans across the country, and this even applies to independents and Democrats to a large degree, most Americans are very concerned and believe fully that their government is untrustworthy and corrupt, and that the system is very much corruptly rigged against them. It is self-protecting. That's what we call the uniparty, the swamp, the deep state, and etc. But this is a real thing. It's a real problem, and it's growing worse by the minute. We're going to have to get very, very serious, sober, strategic, and spiritual to understand exactly what's happening and understand what we're going to do about it, because the consequences are life and death. Anthony Fauci proved that in terrible fashion.
I mean, and there's only so much President Trump can do. There's only so much
Right.
legislation can do. This really has to be a spiritual revival. I completely agree with you, John. This is far bigger than any of us can handle. But we are all in the fight. And I know that you're running for office now and Moms for America, everyone is fighting in their home for their kids, in their
Right.
community and in their country. But let's start a little bit about just a little bit about the actual story. So you connected, you were in, like you said, you were in Hollywood, you as connected with Dr. Gold, you heard about the frontline doctors, and this resonated with you, and you wanted to kind of
Yes.
be a part of this movement. Or what did you have Dr. Gold come, which by the way, I love Dr. Gold. You
She's an
had her come
American
and
hero.
she
Yeah,
sure is.
and vindicated once again. We've lost track of how many times by the recent Fauci diaries and all of this insanity going on. Yeah.
Yeah, for
Dr.
our
Gold.
moms, if you remember, do you remember moms that there was this video of all these doctors standing out in front of, was it, I don't know if it was the Supreme Court
Supreme
or
Court, absolutely.
And they were sharing their concerns about COVID, what
Yes.
needs to be done, how it was being handled. They knew that they had some options as far as medical treatment. And these people, these doctors, were just lambasted as idiots and had no credibility, and they went after them crazy. And Dr. Gold was right in the middle of all this. So tell us, how is that, how you saw that video play out and you wanted her to come and speak?
That press conference shattered the false narrative, turned the corner in our country, and helped to save thousands of lives. It was only made possible by a brave congressman, Ralph Norman, who actually stood to the line and made that happen. And Dr. Gold commonly says, because I'm running for Congress at johnstrand.com in Southwest Florida now, and she makes the point that it can come down to one congressman that's brave enough to do the right thing and assist a constituent like Dr. Gold to deliver a life-saving message. It can change the course of history. So don't think that one person can't make a difference, because it absolutely they can. And I was actually doing the best I could to make a difference in my own neighborhood at the time. So back in 2020, I was in Hollywood. I was leading a freedom rally that President Trump actually tweeted to celebrate, because it became incredibly vibrant, drawing tens of thousands to Los Angeles of all places in support of constitutional rights and the growing MAGA America First movement. I got to interact with a lot of conservative leaders, Dennis Prager, Dave Rubin, on and on and on. But Dr. Gold, at that time, I noticed the work she and the doctors were doing. I knew how important it was and how brave and smart she was in her approach. So we brought her several times to the rally, and very quickly she asked me to start working for the organization. So I'm the creative director at America Frontline Doctors, 6 years running, still working hard in the trenches there, as well as for goldcare.com, which is the future of medical freedom in America. So the work continues. But of course, I've lived now in Southwest Florida for over 4 years, moved here for the specific reason of defending
Freedom.
liberty and American and family values, which are vibrant here in the Southwest, and especially here in Naples, Florida, where I live in 19th Congressional District. So it's an amazing place, and we have an amazing opportunity to really lead the rest of the nation in what I call to reclaim America's constitutional republic.
Well, we never thought that medical freedom would be at the core of this. I think some we had guessed other
Right.
different aspects that they would come after. So now you connect with Dr. Gold, like you said, 6 years later, you're still working with her. Obviously, American Frontline Doctors, amazing organization.
Yeah.
Everyone does need to continue. I mean, there's a lot we can talk about here today, but you should check that out and know that that is a really great resource for our moms. So you connect with her. Let's take this through. How do we end up at the Capitol on J6?
So if people haven't seen this yet, they really should visit this link to watch a video. It's about 13 minutes of security camera footage inside the Capitol building. You can find it at johnstrand.com/J6. So that link will take you directly to the video. It's called, Do You Know What Happened on J6? And you'll never see it the same way again. So I narrate what happened during the course of the events that day. We started in the morning at an Ellipse speech featuring President Trump and others. There was a scheduled march that was going to take place from there to the Capitol in the afternoon. That was advertised weeks in advance. We participated in that march to arrive looking for a stage where we were scheduled to speak along with numerous congressmen and other people. And we couldn't find a stage. We got surrounded by a large crowd. There were almost no cops or law enforcement or crowd control whatsoever. And then we got attacked by the cops out of nowhere. So for a while, it was just a boisterous rally kind of event, but there was no violence or danger that I noticed. It didn't seem like a problem, other than we were wondering when someone would sort of tell us what to do, where to go. And we were kind of trapped in a big throng of people. But then the doors opened from the inside after we'd been pummeled by flashbangs and basically assaulted by cops on the edges. The crowd flushed in, we were pushed inside. And then we basically stumbled around for 45 minutes just trying to get out of the building. That's the long and short of what actually happened that day, from a practical standpoint.
In the
In the
Capitol,
Capitol building, yeah. And my friend Brandon Strzok of the Walkaway campaign was destroyed with three felonies, and he never even walked in the building. So there was no rhyme or reason to how this was handled. It was a false and a nefarious entrapment event from the start. There's a lot of evidence to show that there were calculations made to produce the conditions for this to happen before the day even arrived. And of course, there were almost 300 government operatives embedded in the crowd in various ways. So this was a dirty, corrupt government entrapment event. I call it our American Reichstag fire. So look back in your World War II history and you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's an amazingly important and disturbing event in our American history, and it's not over at all. January 6th is directly connected to the internal coup against President Trump, starting from his first administration and leading through to a clearly rigged and fraudulent 2020 election. So all of these threads are connected in a master, I don't want to say narrative, but a master plan, a master strategy that's, it's decentralized to a certain degree. There's not one person, Nancy Pelosi, calling all the shots, although Pelosi, I think, has direct culpability at a very high level.
Yeah, I'd
But
love to get that.
there's a lot of bad actors involved, and it is a singular narrative that has been an assault against President Trump and his supporters, including myself and many of whom were thrown in prison as innocent political hostages.
Well, let's talk about that. So now you go over to the Ellipse. The speech was there. Then everybody headed over to the Capitol. And what we saw, I never made it to the Capitol. We headed out because it just looked way too crowded.
Yeah, it
But
was incredibly crowded.
it was incredibly crowded. So we didn't get over there. But I know Kimberly, a lot of our moms were over there trying to find these stages where these speeches were supposed to take place. You know, it was kind of supposed to be kind of like an open-ended or open-aired area where people were going to give their speeches. So Dr. Gold and yourself end up, like you said, getting pushed into the Capitol. What does she do? I think she reads her speech a couple times in the Capitol, walks around, and then leaves. I mean, is that as simple as it is?
That's pretty much it. You definitely got to watch johnstrand.com/J6. That video takes you step by step. You see Dr. Gold reading her speech on the iPhone camera. You see us just meandering around trying to find a safe way to get out. I don't know if you actually see any cops come and speak to us, but a couple of them did towards the end, 30 or 40 minutes in. And of course, we immediately complied with whatever instructions they gave us at that time. But we didn't have instructions or any obvious way to get out in the early part. So it took a little while to actually just make our way out of the building. And then, to the extent that people falsely disingenuously describe this as a criminal act, and certainly people call me a criminal. Of course, I have been completely exonerated legally within the judicial system. So all charges were vacated with prejudice. That's the end of the incredible story, which is a miracle and just awesome. But, people will call me a criminal, whatever. Normally, when someone commits a crime, they don't hang out at the scene afterwards. Like you flee the scene of the crime. So I think it's just funny that you'll see us exit the building, and then we just stay there on the steps for almost an hour, chit-chatting with random bystanders. Like, huh, that was kind of an interesting day. We weren't expecting the doors of the Capitol to open. How did that happen? And what's going on? But we didn't have any understanding that this was a major event in the sense that it was going to be manipulated and described as an attack on the Capitol and an insurrection and all the other
An
bombastic
insurrectionist.
things that they say.
All right, moms, the rest of John's story is coming up right after this short break. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. Welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview with John, I do want to remind everybody to please like, share, and subscribe this podcast with your mom friends in your circles. This is how we get our information out. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And then lastly, I want to invite everyone, all the moms that are listening, to join the movement here at Moms for America. We really hope that you're part of our tribe here. It's moms like us all across the country, coast to coast. We're uniting, and we are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you find out about us? Is there a charge? No, there's not. It is all free. And we are here for you, moms. You check us out at momsforamerica.us. We have so many resources, podcasts, blogs, seminars, webinars, all kinds of information on our website. So please take advantage of it and check it out. All right, now back to the show. So now, like you said, you leave. You're talking on the front steps, and a lot of times, you know, what was being put on the news was not actually, that was a small segment of what was happening, very small. The other part was just everybody was just out in front. So what did you do after that? Did you head back? And how did you and Dr. Gold end up getting, I guess, quite frankly, arrested?
Yes. We actually stayed in D.C. another day or two, talking with friends and continuing our work. We actually had another speaking event for America's Frontline Doctors back in Florida. We'd have done a Tampa, Florida event right before D.C. Then we did January 5th at Freedom Plaza, January 6th at the Capitol, and I think it was January 8th back down in Florida, before then returning to the West Coast in California. So it was 12 days later, Martin Luther King Day, the irony does not escape me, that after 7 days of surveilling me in the bushes with long-range cameras, taking shots of me as I would walk to the grocery store and back.
You didn't know this.
I didn't know this at the time. I found that out at trial. But they surveilled us for 7 days and then pounced on us unannounced with 20 officers in a tactical SWAT team assault, shattering my front door with a battering ram, crashing in the room, pounding us to the ground, throwing us in handcuffs and shackles, and dumping us in a car, driving us for hours, dumping me into a jail. I was disappeared in jail for 4 straight days without a phone call, wildly illegal and abusive, without any idea what was going on or any access to any information. Finally, Dr. Gold hired a private eye to find out where I was because the government wasn't cooperating, forced me to get bonded out, and I found myself facing 5 charges, including a 20-year felony, $500,000, $500,000 in fines. Basically, your life's going to be over. We're going to destroy your entire future.
Yeah. And they tried destroying Dr. Gold as well.
Same charges. But then they gave both of us a golden parachute, basically a get out of jail free card if I would take a single misdemeanor plea deal. And Debbie, this is why the book is called Patriot Plea.
Patriot Plea, yeah. And so you evaluated that. You knew that you did not do anything wrong.
That's right.
You like literally walked into the Capitol, which is the people's house, walked around and left. And all of a sudden now you knew that if you did the plea, that that would continue life would be complicated for you. And then actually that you're just admitting to something you didn't do. So what happened there?
It's a great question. And I detail this in a certain chapter of the book, Choosing the Fiery Furnace, the process of choosing to go to prison on a felony when I was given a get out of jail free card. And you could argue either way that it would have been more or less complicated in one direction or the other. But this was In addition to being the most impactful and painful decision I've ever made, it was actually the least complicated decision for me. I didn't hesitate for 1 millisecond. I instantly understood I was innocent. I had been framed and set up and abused by a very corrupt government, which we entrust with power and guns to uphold the rule of law. And when that gets off the rails and becomes weaponized, it is the absolute duty of every American citizen to recognize it, to call it out, and to take risks and incur sacrifice and pain if necessary in order to defend liberty and justice and protect the innocent. So this was my mission from God. There was no question about it. I'm also commanded by God not to bear false witness, including against myself, and that plea deal was a lie. It was a lie and a strategy of a corrupt government, not only to destroy me, but my fellow Americans, President Trump, and all of his supporters at large. So to me, I would never betray my fellow American citizens, even if they threatened me with the death penalty. And I said that publicly. I refused it consistently. And I went to prison on a felony, knowing I was innocent and trusting in God that some way, somehow, that He would lead me through it and provide a redeeming outcome. And Patriot Plea, an incredible story you must read, tells you that redemption story.
I mean, you think about that, and when you said, "Hey, I'm not doing the plea," you don't know if you're going to jail for a week, 2 weeks, a month,
A
years.
year. The
You have
prosecutors
no
asked for
idea.
almost a decade. The prosecutors asked for almost a decade. They were trying to lock me up for the rest of my young adult life.
They
So I
sure
didn't know
were.
what was going to happen.
So you get right. So now you go to jail.
Federal prison.
Federal prison, and you had never had a criminal, no criminal record. There was no history of any type of violence.
Nothing.
You get there. How long were you there? And let's talk about what this experience is like, because all of us had heard horrible stories of how they treated the J6 people. And like you said, this is people that walked in and walked out. This could be people that were in a perimeter that somehow just did not agree with how the government was handling the lockdowns. This could be questions about the validity of our election process, which we have the right to ask those questions. And these people, like you said, were put in jail as if they were the sickest criminals of society.
Yes, J6ers absolutely were mistreated. They were singled out in a special group for additional abuse and mistreatment. It's absolutely true. There's a variety of stories. I can't verify those that I wasn't a part of, but I know and trust many people that analyzed many different abuses with evidence to back it up, and I've experienced my own. There's a lot of evidence and receipts provided in Patriot Plea about how the government violated laws, regulations, and badly abused me. It's a dark and disturbing story, but important to learn and to read from. I was,
You would never think something like that would happen.
yeah,
Not in America.
it's so important, honestly, Debbie, for people to read this book. I urge people, you can get it at johnstrand.com, Patriot Plea, it's on Amazon. Get a copy for your friends and family this holiday season and think of it as a way to really invest in the future at a critical moment in our history where we need to be clear-eyed and sober-minded about what is really actually happening in our country. It can affect all of us. It can come and affect hashtag you next because it's right around the corner. It's that serious. And also this story not only tells the dangerous aspects of weaponized government, but it really explains a full, exciting narrative of what America is, how we got off track, and how we can get back towards pursuing the destiny of freedom, liberty, and justice that God has promised to us. So it is so critical.
Well, if we don't learn from history, if we don't understand what's happening, then we leave the gates open for this to be repeated. So, how long were you in prison? And I do want to talk about the fact that you even were thrown in solitary confinement, if I remember correctly.
Even before I got to prison on the first day, the abuse had already begun, particularly as a J6er. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has a well-established rating system to determine what level of prison you are qualified for. Not all prisons are created equal, so to speak. And that is the truth. They're all terrible, but some of them are much worse. And as a, nonviolent, alleged offender with no background, an upstanding member of my community throughout my life with zero hint of anything that would qualify for a dangerous criminal environment. There is a level of federal prisons called a camp. It doesn't even have walls. Okay, so this would be for white collar first time infractions where all of that all of that stuff's not necessary. I qualified, obviously, for the camp. In fact, I was a large number of points even away from the edge at which they could transition me from one level to the next. So I wasn't even close to the cutoff point. It was wildly wrong, illegal, abusive for them to put me in this higher level. But they just did and said, because I'm a J6 terrorist, essentially, is what they claimed.
Wow.
So from the very beginning, I was badly abused with weaponized government and abuse through misuse of process and violation of their own rules and regulations. And then once I got there, it quickly escalated even further. I was entrapped by members in the prison system and staff that were in direct communication with Merrick Garland's Department of Injustice, that were communicating with them to influence the mistreatment of J6ers and myself, especially because with frontline doctors and the work that I've done for years, I'm louder and more vocal and present than some of the J6ers, and they were concerned about my ability to communicate those messages. I was actually platformed by my friend and fellow patriot, Grant Stinchfield, on Real America's Voice, who had done interviews before I went to prison describing the abuse, the rigged
Right,
jury
'cause you had been in the
system.
media, you had done some speaking, obviously.
I hosted my own show in the media, so I've
Right.
done lots of that. And that interview was used as an excuse to put me in isolation, solitary confinement. But even in solitary conditions in prison, there are supposedly rules to safeguard it. They violated those rules. Geneva Convention and Amnesty International both classify more than 14 consecutive days of isolation as torture. So you're not supposed to be in there for extended periods. I was in there for 4 months. And also a
What?
rule that the Federal Bureau of Prisons
I don't
is,
remember this. How could I forget this? You're
it's
supposed to be there
shocking.
for
It's
two
wildly,
max,
wildly
and you were there for
disturbing.
4 months in solitary confinement, which is
Yes.
what? What is
And
solitary confinement? None of us know that. We've only seen this in the movies.
it's pretty similar to what you might imagine from movies. It's very demented. It's very harsh. It's very desolate. The only thing you wouldn't get for the movies is that the movie's going to move quickly and make you feel like there's point of contact and communication happening. All of that's gone. So you're like locked in a concrete shoebox that gets dropped to the bottom of the ocean, and you're not sure if anyone even knows you're there and will ever pull you out. You're never
My
told how
God.
long you'll be there. It is so painful and terrifying that a second feels like an hour, and an hour feels like a year. So every ticking minute, you are freaking out. You feel like bugs are crawling on your skin, literally, because of the
Yeah.
grime, and psychologically, you feel like you're being suffocated. And every minute this goes by, it gets worse. It doesn't really stay static, but you never get out. You never know if or when you'll get out. So psychologically, the terror and the panic is building minute by minute and hour by hour. It's terrible. And
4 months.
only slight relief would be contact. And you're required by prison rules to have a phone call at least once every 7 days so you could hear your mother or your sister or your attorney or someone you trust and love. They cut me off from all contact and phone calls. 4 months. It's a
It
miracle
is a
I'm alive
miracle
and
that you're
surviving.
alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you do it by the grace of God?
That is absolutely the only way. My faith not only saved my life and my sanity in that prison cell, but Debbie, it's really the only reason I got in there in the first place. I never would have made the choices I did to put myself in that position without the bedrock of faith and my personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my Savior, knowing that He's redeemed the world, He's allowed us to be used by God, and He promises that in this world you will suffer trouble and
Yeah.
persecutions, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That's the promise. I had to cling to that promise because I had nothing else in that
Nothing
prison cell.
else.
Nothing.
Wow. Wow. So after this 4 months, you finally get out. Was Dr. Gold and the team on your behalf trying to get some kind of civility for
They
you?
were.
And they never gave up. Thank you. Thank God. I mean, I guess it's every day you're like, please don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me.
Absolutely, that is correct. And
And what happened?
And their efforts kept me alive. Their prayers lifted me. I felt the prayers of patriots all over this nation. When I got out of isolation, but was still in general population in the prison, I got a flood of letters later from Americans all over the country telling me they were praying for me, and I could actually tell that that was happening. I
Oh,
do want to give
that's
a
wild.
shout out and thanks to Congressman Matt Gaetz, who really stepped forward to fight for me and actually called my mom on her cell phone to comfort her when I was lost in isolation and she was terrified that I'd never survive. So there are a few good ones in our system, not many,
Yeah.
but of course, it's why I'm running for Congress at johnstrand.com, and it's why the book Patriot Plea is so important for you guys to read and share with friends and family and any American that you can possibly get to read this book, because it will shake them awake. It will warn them of what's happening, but it will empower and inspire them to realize that America truly is the greatest country in the history of the world. There's a reason for it, and we have to return to that reason and reclaim the promise that formed this nation in the beginning.
Amen. This should be a movie, but you lived a movie and not a good movie. But wow. Okay, let's talk about the Supreme Court and how you got out of prison and how the Supreme Court basically has exonerated you clearly. So tell us after, how I don't know how we want to go from you had 2 more years after that, or was it another how long was
I
it
served
since?
exactly 1 year, in fact,
Okay.
366 days, because it was a leap year. And then I was
Okay.
released at that point because the Supreme Court ruling vindicated me and knocked out the felony, but the process was still ongoing. I was appealing all 5 charges, and the misdemeanors were still in process, but I'd already served the max 1 year potential of a misdemeanor, which is why I was one of only two people released before President Trump even returned to office. So I was released in July of 2024, and that was, 6 months before President Trump returned to the White House. Then in the beginning of 25, as I continued to press my appeal and I was going to take it as far as necessary, the DOJ made the right decision with better leadership, and vacated all 5 charges with prejudice. So that's actually the best possible outcome, because the DOJ rescinds their charges as if they had never brought them to begin with. So the reality is, I no longer have any standing charge against me. I'm as innocent as anyone that's never been charged in their life, only
Thank God.
because I refused to accept a false confession and take a plea deal, which would have made my life easy at the time, or so it seemed. But refusing that on principle was the only thing that preserved my right of appeal and my defense of innocence, which ultimately was completely validated, vindicated, and exonerated with a vacated sentence,
Right. Well,
or
that's what they
a
wanted
vacated
everyone to.
case.
Right, that's what they wanted everyone to be charged guilty to some level. And then I guess just even the fact, I just think about so many people's lives were so destroyed. I mean, they came
It's,
after bank accounts, they
yeah.
came after family members, they came after jobs. I've heard some s very, very sad story about suicides around this J6 because people were shunned and bullied, and the crazies came after them. And I mean, there was a lot of death and destruction
There really
around
was.
all of this.
I detail it in Patriot Plea. You'll find stories and recordings of various just damage and devastation to patriots and families all across the country. After I got out of prison 6 months before President Trump was back in office, I helped to lead WeAreJ6.com, a platform to consolidate the movement and platform their stories and call for, the correct version of restorative justice, which is to say, restitution for victims and government accountability for bad actors. And we're still pursuing that. Of course, the Anti-Weaponization Fund has been very controversial because the left is clinging to these lies. And a lot of people are still wildly misinformed by CNN, which is absolutely American Pravda, totally state-moved lies and garbage. And so many of our American citizens are still largely misinformed by wildly fraudulent propaganda, whether it's J6 or otherwise. And so the justice that is due these Americans, it still eludes them. I'm still fighting for it. I'll certainly fight for that in Congress and every other avenue I can to make the case that it is essential to all of us that we learn the truth, memorialize it, repair the damage to victims, and we need accountability for bad actors who have abused their position, whether that's Anthony Fauci, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith. These people are an abomination to the truth and justice that our American Republic was designed to uphold and protect for all equally. So the, you know, the unequal treatment, the absolute violation of the Fifth and 14th Amendment principle of equal protection under law, this is a essential premise and core concept of our system in Western civilization, the equal application of the law, wildly abused by these bad actors, and we need accountability for it.
Well, how do we get your book? Tell us about that, because I know everyone now is like, wow, I have to read this, because the stories, and again, this is hundreds of pages long. This is you've just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg here. Again, how do we get your book, John?
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon. It's also available in audio, which I actually recorded myself. That was a journey as well. And I did write this entire manuscript by hand in a prison cell on lined paper, painstakingly over almost 6 months, hauled out those boxes of paper, carefully guarding them with my life, you know, and into the arms of my family and friends that rescued me from prison, and began transcribing it and editing it. It has been a huge journey, this book. It is an absolutely extraordinary story. You will never be the same after reading it. And the more Americans that read this, the more we are going to grow this rising movement that I call the remnant, because you'll see throughout scripture and in our own American history that
That's
God
right,
has
you talk about the
always
remnants.
preserved and protected a small minority. Our founding father, Sam Adams, called it the irate minority, setting brush fires of freedom in the minds
Yeah,
of men. So it's a
that's right.
small minority that knows the truth and takes risks and pain to fight for it. It's what I call uncomfortable courage. And it is so critical that we reclaim this kind of courage in our current situation and in our, you know, our culture does not even validate or honor courage. We worship comfort and convenience and popularity in this culture. We're deeply sick as an American culture, and we need to cut out that cancer and really rehabilitate ourselves with the antidote of spiritual truth. This book, Patriot Plea, an extraordinary story, but it's going to inspire you to understand what can be done, what your part to play in this grand, you know, drama playing out in all of our lives. You have a role to play, and God's calling it to be a hero in this American story.
That's so true. Uncomfortable courage.
Yes.
Well, you are the epitome of that. And I know just from speaking with you and meeting you in person, you would have not have changed your mind. You still would have gone forward. You still felt that that was completely God's plan for you. And in it, you became out on the other side of this, as God does. He refines us through the fire.
That's
And now
right.
you are even more. I mean, if we thought you were something to say last before about your convictions, now you are running for Congress. Tell us how
Yes.
that came about.
I mean, sitting in a prison cell as a political hostage, you have some deep conversations in your spirit with the Lord. And I had been working and still do as the creative director for America's Frontline Doctors and organizing freedom rallies, and I've been very engaged working in media, frontline flash news shows, and doing everything that I can as an actor, as an author, as an advocate,
But never a politician.
but never a politician. And I've never run for elected office before. I've never even really considered doing it. In the last few years, I thought that I would probably be supporting conservative and patriot leaders that were pursuing public office. But in prison, I realized there's just not enough. We need men of courage and faith to get back into the government and lead our nation back to the fundamentals of freedom. All right. So, what are those fundamentals? Well, I believe God is the source of our rights, which include life at all stages, liberty, and the ownership of private property. I believe the only valid purpose for government is to protect your rights from infringement, not to steal your money and spend it on foreigners and daycare scams. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit, not life, liberty, and government handouts, right? And I believe that the Bible is God's instruction manual for life, and that the Declaration and Constitution, which were drawn from those scriptures, are the sacred guardrails to constrain the government from becoming tyrannical. But of course, it has become wildly tyrannical. We have a self-protecting system because we've lost those fundamentals at every level of our culture. And I believe God has called me to raise up a new generation of courageous men and women to become engaged in their government and to seek positions of elected office based on virtue and principle and an absolute commitment to doing what is right, no matter what the cost is to themselves.
Wow. Well, yes, and amen, John. We're praying for you in this journey. I know the election is coming up. We're right on the heels of it. And to the folks that are in your district in Florida, please check out John. You've heard his story. You've heard his vision for America. And we just wish you the very best. And thank you for sharing your story because courage is contagious.
That's right.
And we all need a good shot of this. So thank you, John.
It's an honor to be with you. No matter where folks live in this country, you can actually make a difference right now in this race and in this moment in history. So visit us at johnstrand.com, get that book, chip in whatever you can to help us win this race and really set a new culture in Congress to reclaim the Republic for all Americans. And no matter what state you live in and what district you're in, get involved in the process. Find
Yeah.
patriots and support them and continue to pray and work every day to love and
Yeah.
cherish the gift of freedom that God gave us in the United States of America. Thank you and
Yeah.
God bless you so much.
That's it. Freedom is worth fighting for. Thank you. You keep fighting. And again, check out Patriot Plea Moms. What a book for everyone to dive into and really be inspired. So thank you for sharing your story. God bless you in your journey, John.
Thank you. It's my honor. God bless.
What a great interview with John. What a story. John, thanks again for your commitment to truth. And you really are an example for all of us as Americans. You are courageous. Wow. All right, moms, thank you for being a part of this program. Again, please share this podcast with your mom friends. Like, share, and subscribe. For any other information about Moms for America, our programs, our resources, our newsletters, our blogs, all of the support, all of our past podcasts, you can check them out at momsforamerica.us. I would love for you to really be a part of our tribe and be a part of our movement. We say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has it all. All right, moms, thanks again for joining us this week. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.